Okay, so we're going to carry on with worship this morning. And we've looked at the why, and now we're going to look at the what and the who. I'm not going to talk about the who, but hopefully it'll come across as we go through the morning. And I want to... Well, let's have a look. We've thought, haven't we, about going deeper. We've thought about going wider in the church community. We've talked about going wider out there into the local community. We've talked about praying, and now we're talking about worship. Okay. And as I've already said, last week it was the why, and this week it's the what and the who. So let's just refresh our memory about what the Bible says about worship. A few definitions of Bible words. To kneel and bless the Lord. To hold out the hands. To be clear in your sound. To shine. To boast. To celebrate. To glory. Glorify. In the Old Testament, the word was to prostrate yourself on the ground. Okay. In the New Testament, to kiss towards. What a lovely turn of phrase, isn't it? To kiss towards. But I realise, as we thought about those ideas, and could I say concepts, actually, the question that comes up after we've looked at all the ins and outs of that is, but what does worship look like for me? Okay, is worship just standing up and singing on a Sunday morning? And or is it more than that? Okay, now yes, we do. We say, don't we? We've got the worship band. Let's have our time of worship. And it's all well and good if you are very confident in your singing and what have you. But if you not confident in your singing, or perhaps you realise that you can't sing, and you're actually embarrassed to open your mouth because you don't like the sound that comes out. I've got a friend, his name's Steve. He lives in Ireland. He grew up at Rora, down in Devon, and he could not sing a note in tune. Okay. And I would stand next to him in Rora meetings, and I'd be singing on tune, and he'd be all over the place. But do you know what? Both our hearts were worshipping. It wasn't to do with the noise coming out of his mouth. And I do think that sometimes too much emphasis is put on the song. And, I mean, on YouTube you see these things... 10 songs you should never sing in your church. And, oh, goodness me. It's all hype. Okay. If you sing this song in your church, leave. I think, oh, come on. First video, please, Chris. It's a video of Matt Redman, the guy who wrote When the Music Fades, and he wants to... I've got this to explain a little bit about why he wrote what he wrote.
So Mike, he was my pastor, we loved to worship through music in our church. But one day he said, you know, we've lost the plot here. We've lost what we were wanting to do. It's become about the style and how loud is it, how quiet is it? Do I like that song? Do I not like that song? People are judging, oh, I like that worship leader more than that one. And people were becoming consumers instead of actually coming to bring an offering. So he said to our church, we're actually going to pack away the sound system for a few weeks and all the instruments. And we're going to, you just bring your Bible. But when you come through the doors of the church building on a Sunday, ask yourself, what could you bring as your offering today? And it was amazing. We got in a room and with our voices and our hearts and our Bibles. And it was a little uncomfortable at first, but then people would bring a scripture or a song, or And it was just really wonderful time of recentering, getting reorientated in worship. And so when I wrote the song, I was just describing what happened. When the music fades, all is stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to bring something that's of worth, that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you've required. You search much deeper than within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship. And honestly, it was a painful time for me at first, because I was thinking, so what's my job look like now then? But God used it so much. And honestly, it's good to keep going back to that place and keep relearning the lesson that it's all about Jesus. Do you know, Revelation chapter 4 and 5 is a great study. We talked earlier how about in that place there's a throne and everything else arranges itself around that throne. You know, and there's this rainbow encircling the throne, and there's angels encircling the throne, and that's what our lives are meant to do, with Jesus in the center. And I can't imagine in that place anyone's discussing styles or volumes or worship leader preferences. You know, they're just bringing their offering to Jesus, and let it be on earth as it is in heaven. Let's start doing that now.
Very good, eh? To get us to think. Oh, I don't like that song. Oh, this one. Oh, this one's no good. Oh, yeah, this is really nice. This is one of my favourites. Oh, it's Matt playing the guitar. I much prefer JoJo. Jesus is the centre of our worship. This is the who. Yeah? Jesus is the centre of our worship. And sometimes when I am preparing the songs for a Sunday, I want to make sure that the songs are Jesus-centered. Yeah? Sometimes they're like, bless the Lord, O my soul. You're singing to yourself. O church, arise. You're singing to one another. Jesus, all for Jesus. You're singing to him. So it's really good. I mean, here's some suggestions. Thank you for the cross, Lord. We're singing a thank you. He is Lord. He is Lord. Singing to him. Thank you, Jesus, for loving me. Before you made the stars and seas, we haven't sung that for a very long time. But they're all vertical songs, if you know what I mean. It's us up to God. And it's so good to be able to worship and use songs as a means to worship, because it's coming from what's inside here. So how can we express, how can I express, how can you express what you feel, and what is it that you feel? Okay, I'm sort of throwing out a bit of a challenge here, that it's not just, oh, we come, we sing a song, it's a bit quiet, a bit awkward, but someone will pray, and then we'll sing another song. No, when we come together, it should be all of us having open hearts before the Lord and flowing. Okay? We sometimes talk about the Spirit being like a river, God's love being like a river. And yeah, let the Spirit move us, flow us, can I say, in this river. Okay. So what is it that we feel? Now, I put down one word. I don't know if that expresses how you feel when you think about coming to worship God. But this is where it comes from. I think worship comes from the joy of what God has done for you as a person. And you might say, well, I'm not quite there yet, Matt. I'm not feeling that joy. Well, we need to pray that you find out exactly what God is ministering to you, and get, I know, get you to the place where you can receive. Because you can't give until you've received. If you've got a zero bank balance, you can't give anything unless first something gets put in. Okay? So, for you and for me, we need to really come into what God is doing for us, and then from that, we can start by giving back to Him. So, here's some things that we need to have. Now, I've spoken about these before, and I'm sorry to bang the same drum again, but I feel they're so important for us. Relationship with God. And do you remember the other week I said, can we have a different word to relationship? And all the words that you suggested to me were okay. We could use them. But like, for instance, friendship. That was a possibility. Friendship was a possibility. And then one person said, yeah, but we can have friends that we don't really like, or they're not very nice friends, but they are our friends. So friendship was out. Someone suggested marriage. In an ideal world, that would be great. Jane. Thou dost seek a bridal pure and holy, we sometimes sing. I think relationship, we've got to come back to this thing, relationship. We've got the father-child relationship, okay? And then listen to these words. Greater love, this is John chapter 15 and verse 13. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I've called you friends. For all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. We like to think sometimes, don't we, that we're God's servants. Well, we are. We're servants of God. Paul goes on to say, I'm a slave of God. But here, in John's Gospel, Jesus is calling us friends. So perhaps we could use the word friendship. Yeah? Perhaps we could. So we're friends, but then we've got in Galatians, and because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through Christ. Now, if we only had that as the reason for our worship, just those two scriptures and the things that God has done through those scriptures in us, that would be enough for us to open our hearts and worship. But we've got more, haven't we? We've got forgiveness. And I was thinking with someone during the last couple of weeks about forgiveness and how that sometimes people say, well, yeah, but God can't forgive me of that. That's too bad. This thing has been going on for so long, God will never forgive me of this. What does it say in 1 John 1? If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Do you have the word may in that or could? No. He is faithful and just to forgive. Not he might forgive. To cleanse us from some unrighteousness? No. From all unrighteousness. Grace. But God, who's rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, has made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you've been saved through faith, and that's not of yourself, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Wow. So we've got here relationship with God, forgiveness, grace. And of course, as you know, grace is something that we don't deserve, but we get from God. Oh, this is amazing. And let's finish this off, this little bit here, with salvation. Okay, four things there. Relationship, forgiveness, grace, and salvation. If we were to take those four things and sit down with a pad and a pencil and just sit before the Lord and just think about those things and write down what comes to your heart, you'd be worshipping within moments because of what God has done. When we were at Chris French's funeral a couple of weeks ago in Leeds, we sung a really old song. It is well with my soul, with my soul. Remember that one, some of the older folk? There's one verse, and here it is. It's a bit strange in out of context, but listen. My sin, oh the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, O my soul. And we sung this, and I thought, why don't we sing in these songs? It was, as we were singing it in that church, the crescendo of faith that rose in our hearts. My sin, oh, the bliss of this wonderful thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. I'm saved. Lord, I'm saved. So, we've got those four, but then I was thinking about other things you could add in that would give you joy, that would want to make you worship. And I come up with miracles and provision. Now, I've just finished a book called Rhys Howell's Intercessor. It's a very, very amazing story. It's not in print. I had to listen to it on Audible because I didn't have the book. So I'd loaned it to someone. If I've loaned it to one of you and it's on your shelf, please can I have it back? I don't know who I loaned it to. Absolutely stunning. Miracle after miracle after miracle. Healing after healing. Provision after provision. He and his wife were in South Africa in just after the end of the First World War when the Spanish flu was ravaging the world. Okay. And it had come to South Africa, and God said to him, no one on your station, mission station, will die from the Spanish flu. He believed God. He carried on. People were coming to him from the villages around. Has anyone died here? No, they haven't. God's told me no one is going to die if they're in this compound. They go away. A week or so later, people come again. Is anyone dead yet? No, no one's died. God told me that no one was going to die in this compound. Can we come and live here? until it's all over. And people were coming because they knew that God was keeping that place. Absolutely amazing. Later on, I mean, that's just literally one story, and there are loads. If you can get a copy of it, or if you fancy listening to it, it's available on Audible. But if you can get a copy of it, it's very, very high, and some of the things he does in it are very, very high. And I'm thinking, crumbs, I could never do that. Think about what Michelle said. I could never do that. But the story of God in it is amazing. And he goes through, when he comes back to Wales, because he's a Welsh man, when he comes back to Wales, God tells him to open a Bible school, and he tells him how much he's going to spend on the Bible school building. And there's prayer going up about this and everything. And I can't remember the whole story, but I remember that he was interested and the Catholics were also interested in the building. They had prayer meetings about that. And God still said, this is how much I'm going to give you for the building. And so he went to the owner and actually said, I think it was about £6,530, something like that. That's what he was going to be given by God. God was very, very specific. This is what you're going to ask to buy it for. And they were asking 10,000. I mean, this is 1925, I think, around about that sort of time. But he said yes. He said, this is the amount I want to pay for the building. The owner said, yes, you can have it for that. Go to my solicitor and draw up the things and give me the deposit. Goes back to God and says, God, you said deposit. You said this much. This is how much it's going to go for. Can I have the money, please? And God waited and waited until almost the day he was walking out of the house to go to the solicitors to sign, and the money came. And there's more stories. He ended up with 4 places: Bible college, a children's home for children of missionaries, a school for children of missionaries. And it all came, all the provision came, and each time God told him, 1, what building, and 2, how much to offer for it. And there's even somebody that went to him and said, I hear you're after such and such building. He said, let me know, and when it happens, when you're ready, I'll give you the deposit. He didn't need to go to that man because God had already got it all lined up. And lastly, the last one I'm thinking of is when he had all these buildings, he had to pay tax on them every year. And the way he used to think was this: if I've got money at hand, it goes to the next need. And he had £40. And we're talking about the 30s, early 40s. He had £40, and he had to go and pay the tax for the buildings of £40. Before he left the house, someone came to him and said, can you pray with me, please, because I need to pay my building tax today, and it's £30. Now, he didn't think, okay, well, I've got mine, so I'll pray for this guy. No, he said, no, the money's here. You have your money. Go and pay your tax. He said, God will provide for me. In those days were 3 post deliveries in a day. The first came, nothing. The second came, nothing. The third came, £40. Provision. Doesn't that sort of thing give you joy? You know, you think, oh, God has done this. You hear about it, you think, that was great for that person. And yes, my friends gave a testimony of how they had... But when it happens to you, oh, God, you've done something. And for some reason, the provision and miracle are quite a thing for the day-to-day living, aren't they? James and Eva have got themselves a new place. Haven't you? How long till you move?
End of the month.
You move on the end of the month. To Stanley Road. Yeah? Yeah. Yeah. House was getting uncomfortable to live in, wasn't it? It was getting very, very difficult. And some of us have been praying. You've been praying a lot. Some of us have also been praying, and God's done a miracle, hasn't he? Wonderful. Thank you, Lord. Now, I'd like to say, not just happiness, okay? You can be happy, okay? I looked out the window this morning, and I was not happy because it was raining. But that did not dampen my joy and my peace. Yeah? All the things that... We've even got a little children's song we used to sing back in the day. I'm happy when everything happens to please, but happiness comes and goes. But joy is there for, in the Saviour whose love ever overflows, or something like that. Happiness is dependent on mood, on what is happening. But joy and peace are deep down things. Yeah, they're things that cause us to want to worship. So, what does worship look like then? When you're at home and you're by yourself, if you're in a house with family, that's a little bit more difficult, but you can be by, find a place, you can be by yourself, and it says, doesn't it, in Matthew, get into your secret place, close the door, and talk to God in secret. For some people, they like to put on a piece of music, and it helps them to start to worship. For some people, it's just sitting, it's reading the scripture and letting the scripture wash over you and you respond to what you've read and your heart is just flowing to God. Okay? But it's also really important, doing it by ourselves is really important, but there's also being together. Okay? Being by yourself is great. Being part of a little prayer group, I know of one that's going at the moment with four ladies in, and that is really, there's blessing in that. Perhaps in a home group, in the home group or something, you're together and you're worshiping together there. That's really great. But to be together as a church as well is good. I've got a story that I want to use next week, but I'm sorry it's got to come today. There was a boy that went to camp. And he went to camp and it was fantastic. The meetings every day, he was praising God, it was fantastic. The Bible studies they did were great, the games and things were excellent. But he really came home from camp really excited and on fire for God. And then, as a week or two went by, the feelings slowly began to disappear. And in the end, he thought, what did happen at camp? Was there anything at camp that happened? Because I don't feel anything now. And he went to speak to an old wise man in his church. And they sat in front of the fire. And he was talking, the old man was talking to the boy, and he got the tongs and he picked up a piece of coal from the fire. He said, look at this coal. Isn't it nice and hot? It's part of the fire. It's giving us heat. He said, but if I put this over here, it's slowly going to cool down. And the only way to get it is to put it back. And then as part of the fire, it's really good. And the old man said to the boy, what you need to do is to make sure that you are in fellowship with others. And that is actually quite important. Yes, if you're somewhere where there is no fellowship and you're just by yourself and all you can rely on is talking to people over phone or what have you, then fair enough. But if there is the possibility of fellowship, then it needs to be, it needs to happen to keep our hearts, can I say, alive. Yeah? I met someone recently who was criticizing things, but when it came down to it, he said, I feel nothing. But he's not been in a meeting for months and months and months. Lord, keep us in fellowship together. Yes, we've got our private times at home. Yes, we've got our small group meetings, but together as a church, we can encourage one another, we can let that worship that's in our hearts flow, and that will encourage others. Yeah? Flowing together. So I wonder what worship could look like. Here's some suggestions. This is just some suggestions for worship. Yes, it's singing. Yes, it's praying. Acts of service in the church. When I put these chairs out, I don't think, oh, I've got to put these chairs out again. I put the chairs out and I pray, don't always do it, but I pray as I put the chairs out, Lord, bless the person who's going to sit in this chair on Sunday. Okay, Lord, bless this person. And if I forget to do it, I pray at the end, Lord, bless each one that comes. Artistically, do you remember at Christmas we had a nice thing here with a nativity scene on it and another one in the front lobby. A lady that used to be part of the church drew those and painted them herself. Artistically, Jane's very good at this sort of thing, aren't you, Jane? Express your worship through your art. Visiting people. Lord, I'm so full of what you've done for me. Let me go and visit someone and bless someone. Speaking to others. Peter was here helping me yesterday afternoon. He said, bye, Matt. Off he went. And 5-10 minutes later, I finished, locked up, walked out. He was just outside talking to someone. Giving. Now, we don't have an offering basket that goes round anymore, because we just, most of us give through the bank. And sometimes you think, it's gone. I've lost the... People in some churches say, this is part of our worship, is giving. And it's sad. I don't even think about it. The money leaves my bank account and comes into the church account. I don't even think about it. I'm sad about that. But it's not just finance, is it? It's time, it's effort, it's yourself. Contributing in a meeting. Speaking out. Reading a scripture. Moving in a gift. Praying. Can we sing this song? Or if you're really, really brave, start a song. That takes a lot, doesn't it? Getting something from God and bringing it to the church. As you're reading day by day and you the scriptures come and you think, oh, this is, I could share this in the church. Oh, no, but I couldn't do that. Of part of your worship, I can't. Can God? God can. Yeah? Here's another one. This is tongue in cheek, responding to requests. Oh, I couldn't do that. It's not my thing. Why not respond anyway? Even if it's not your thing. And make it worship. A lady called Helen Roosevelt, who was a missionary in Congo, she was told when she arrived in the Congo at the mission station, the first thing she was told to do was to scrub the floors in the toilets. Oh, I thought I was going to be a missionary. And all I've got to do is scrub these floors. Someone walked in, muddy feet, across the floor, went to the toilet, walked again. Oh, I've just cleaned that. Oh, dear. Someone else, and that went on for a while. And the person in charge of the mission station comes in and says, how are you getting on? Well, I'm not enjoying this. This should be an act of worship. Don't worry about that. That's tomorrow's dirt. You clean. You clean to the Lord. It made all the difference to her. So, we're coming to the end. And I want to be really cheeky and give you some homework. Okay. In a month's time, on the 15th of March, we're going to have a sharing meeting. Okay? That's 4 Sundays' time. On the 15th of March, we'll be having a sharing meeting. So your homework between now and then is to go to God and say, Lord, what do you want me to share on that day? It could be that you know what I said earlier, didn't you? Sit down, think about the things God has done for you. And go back, let's say 5 years. Go back to, Lord, what have you done for me? And think and list the things that God has done. And let worship rise in your heart over the things that he's done for you. And then pick something and say, I want to share this. This is how God blessed my heart. Because you know that if you get blessed by God over something, that blessing will come out to others as you share it. Okay? So, 15th of March, sharing, testimonies, gratitudes. You might say, this song has really blessed me. I really want to sing this song. And then just make a comment about it. Great. So, this is warning, okay? Sunday, 15th of March, sharing meeting. And you don't have to stand here for 30 minutes. You can stand for 2. For 1. Oh, I can't. God can. Let's just remember what God has done. The blessings that he's given to us. So, we've come to the end. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to sing that When the Music Fades song. And I've actually got a video of Matt Redman singing it with a lady in the background being artistic. Okay, so we're going to do that in a moment. But let's just pray. Father, we thought about many different things this morning. And we thank you, Lord, that the response of our heart can be worship. For all the things you've done, for all the things that you've done in us, the things you've done for us, the things you've done through us, Lord, they can all produce joy and peace in our hearts. And that leads to worship. Lord God, so this morning we want to ask you to teach us. Lord, this is like the edge of it, Lord. The edges of your ways, as it were. We want to ask you to teach us so that when we come to worship, it's a flowing. It's not anything else. It's a flowing of what you have done. Please teach us, even in these days, as we have our quiet times in our homes, as we're together in our small groups. Lord, teach us about worship. Let our hearts flow to you, Lord. Amen. Amen.